Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Childcare Bar and Grill Podcast, Jeff Johnson coming to you live from the new downstairs upstairs studio. In studio with me is Slinky Dog, who just walked in the other room. Lisa took his bone away. She thought that would make bad pod. The sound of the dog gnawing on his bone behind us. Lisa Murphy's here.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson's here.
Aloha.
And live from upstate New York on top of a mountain, Melinda Marshall.
Hello.
Melinda, we invited you on the podcast to ask you, why are you so great?
It just comes naturally, Jeff.
Great answer.
All right, so over the last couple of years, all of us here in the studio have had a chance to visit Melinda's program in New York and see it in action, and we all kind of came away with the same feeling, like, oh, that's pretty chill.
Yeah, that really was my biggest takeaway, and it's led to a couple conversations since then. And I brought it up to you actually that day as well, which just is that you don't have to be working hard to be doing your job. And I think anybody who can come and see you in action would get a visual of what that actually means. It was very relaxed.
So you said, "Yeah." You said Melinda doesn't work hard?
See, that's why this is such a tricky conversation.
She works hard, but she makes it look like she's...
My impression is that she is very effective at her job without looking overly stressed about having to work hard.
Is that true, Melinda?
Yeah, I think I've just gotten really good at picking my battles, maybe. And my priorities and what's important to me, I think.
I think in a lot of settings, the caregivers get into this mindset where they have to be up and hustling and always in the middle of things, and focus needs to be on them. And that often draws away from the power of play for the children, because they're constantly being drawn out of what they're doing and into the scene, the world, the environment, the moment the caregiver is trying to create. And what we see at your programs and your program and other programs like that we visit, is the caregivers kind of do a more effective/efficient job of letting themselves fade into the background a little bit. Is that what it is, Lisa?
I would agree with that. It didn't need to always be in the middle. Literally, sure. She was literally sitting on the side, but that doesn't mean disengaged.
Yeah. The first time I went and visited Melinda, it was at lunchtime, and I believe the little ones, they were dishing up lunch for themselves.
Yeah,
and I mean, these are like barely two-year-olds, if they're two-year-olds yet, as I remember it. And they're serving each, I don't know if it was pasta or green beans or whatever it was, but they're scooping out for each other and they're helping. And you know, in so many programs, the caregiver would have been right there, hovering, waiting to clean up the spill because there's going to be a spill, or not even giving them the opportunity to serve themselves in the first place. And that was like,
especially if there was a visitor.
Yeah, exactly.
So Melinda, how long did it take you to get so amazing?
I've been doing family childcare for 18 years now. And it's been probably the last maybe 12 that, you know, I switched over to a play-based philosophy and, you know, raising two boys of my own in that chaos of being a mom is what's really now at this point kind of chilled me out. Cause you know, now that they're grown, you see that the little things, you know, the big things weren't so big, you mm-hmm. know, and it's a little that matter. So that kind of transcends over into the program now for me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the spilled milk's not a big deal. The paint on the floor, it's just not a big deal anymore, you know, cause.
Yeah. I think it takes time for us to just learn to step back and relax and realize that, you know, there's going to be another day. Everything doesn't have to be perfect today. And I don't have to be the boss. We don't have to push because it's going to be tomorrow. And over time things work out and things move ahead and we can step back. I think when we're less experienced, we think we've got to be doing more of the doing. Is that what it is?
Perhaps.
Yeah. I think a lot of providers feel like if they're not doing something, that they're not doing enough or not doing their job.
I agree.
And they worry about that part too much, I think.
And so do you ever worry about that? You need to be busy if it's time for the parents to show up or if the licensor's coming or any stuff like that, or have you get to the point where you can be chill at all times?
Yeah, I'm pretty, I mean, I have my moments. I'm only human, you know, when the mess gets overwhelming or things like that. But for the most part, you know, there's always tomorrow. And even like with licensing, you know, I mean, she's just a human too. And she's either going to understand or she's not. There's no point in getting stressed out about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're also at that point where you've learned how to, and this is probably going to come out incorrectly, we might need to stretch it a little bit, but you've learned the system. You know, you've learned potentially where there might be, and we all have, I think, where there might be some loopholes that we can take advantage of. Never, of course, to put any child, of course, in harm's way or anything, but how can I stay true to a very play-based program while working within the regulations and the rules and the guidelines, but also kind of knowing where I'm able to fudge a little bit. And I think that takes confidence and experience. And I think the hindsight that you have of knowing that your boys are older and you have a little bit of that practical wisdom, if that's the proper word, of it. It's not just reading a meme or a book that talks about how some of the things we worry about. I mean, you've got your own kids to look at and be like, you know what? You know, maybe 20 years ago, I might have really, really, really been stressed out about this one thing. And my own experience is leading me to be like, you know what? I can probably take this in stride.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. That's it.
So, Melinda, been doing this for a while. What do you find yourself struggling with in the profession? Whether you either look at your own program or you look at the field on a broader, wider scale.
Well, in my own program for my own home, we take children 6 weeks to 12 years old. And in the last year, I've actually doubled my license and hired my daughter-in-law. So we have up to 16 children here every day. And the biggest struggle for family childcare is keeping the baby safe mm-hmm. while making room for the older children to move and play and explore the way they need to.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
That's the biggest struggle that we usually have. And then, you know, with licensing, sometimes it's some of those silly rules that, you know, don't make sense to, they're not practical. I don't think, you know,
yeah.
For people who have never been in a family childcare program, some of these rules just don't really
make sense.
They're not really, yeah, they don't make sense, you know.
Specific to the infant comment that you made, because I know that comes up even in centers, you know, are you able on the spot to share a couple of solutions that you have for that or some of the strategies that you've adopted through the years of making sure that the babies are safe while we're not, you know, totally undermining what the olders are able to get around and go do?
Right. Well, what's changed a little bit now that I have an assistant, but when I was alone, it was always, the baby stayed pretty close to me. Like the baby, you know, was always with me, and within arm's reach most of the time. I don't use a lot of baby equipment. We have a playpen and a high chair. So, you know, it, when it does get crazy hectic, you know, sometimes the baby does go in the playpen or up in the high chair with a couple of toys. Or they just stay really close to us, or we'll, you know, try to, we'll, we're, I'm constantly moving my room around and rearranging my room to accommodate all the ages too. So, I mean, my, our babies are, you know, once they start crawling, they kind of have free reign, and the older children are really good about, you know, watching out for them for the most part, you know, so the babies are splashing at the art easel and scooping in the pellet table and everything at, you know, as soon as they can stand up, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most, in my experience, mostly those older kids that, especially if they're in a family program where they've grown up around younger ones, and they used to be the younger one in that program. I mean, most kids, most of the time, don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And it ends up being a, they need to practice being careful. And if you grow up in that setting, it's something you get pretty astute at pretty quickly.
Yeah, my older children now are pretty good about that.
Yeah, but I actually was just thinking about this, and I got a product I want to get on the market to help with this. Remember that you probably still get them, those hamster balls? they like, you put the hamster in, they can walk around the living room. We need just slightly bigger ones, like baby balls, toddler balls.
They make those, dude.
Like kids. Well, I know they got the big one, big blow-up ones for adults. No, I'm talking the early learning ones. And so you put, and I don't think the blow-up ones, those would get punctured too easy, I think. And but so it'd have to be solid material. And then so you just put the toddler in it, and it'd have, or the, even for the babies, it'd have some sort of self-leveling device. So when they rolled, they might rock back and forth, but they wouldn't like flip. Well, maybe one flip, and then they even out, and so the big kids could push them around and stuff. And then they'd be able to crawl in it, and then you take out that kind of platform in it when they get to be toddlers, and they just walk around in it, and they wouldn't be bumping into stuff, and wouldn't be able to get stuff. They wouldn't be able to get the small stuff in their mouths and stuff like that. I think it'd be great. Do you want the first one, Melinda?
I'll try anything once.
Well, we'll get that into research and development and see what we can do with
first,
it.
I'd probably fill it full of paint first and let them let them walk in.
Full of paint and give them a little snorkel.
Well, and the added value of you literally being on top of a mountain. So, I mean, this is literally a good... I see you on the top of the, you know, it's not like it's all flat, but anyway, to make a joke go longer than it needs to here.
A little 14-month-old rolling down the side of the mountain into town.
Town.
That wouldn't be good. So what do you see on a broader scale with the, you know, either the field of early learning or family childcare specifically, what do you see? You spend a lot of time on the interwebs and the social media engaging around this profession. What do you see people struggling with or those friction points for people nowadays?
A lot I see is, well, mostly it's dealing with licensing. Mm-hmm. I know there's people who struggle with dealing with parents and families. And most of the time what I read on the internet, to be honest, is providers who are struggling with their own egos and can't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm. Some complete- oh, name names.
No, don't
name names.
I mean, that just sounded
like... What if she'd been like, well, there's this chick named Karen and...
Jeff fucking Johnson. No, I mean that's an issue. There are places on the internet I won't go anymore for precisely that reason. That gets to be a bit much to stomach sometimes. So I get that. What's it like working with the daughter-in-law?
It's fun. I mean, they live right around the corner on the property we inherited from my in-laws. So, you know, we kind of live together and work together, and you know, we see each other a lot, but we get along good. So it's been working out okay.
Well, that's nice because, I mean, that allows you to grow the program and it allows her to stay close to home. And there's lots of good things coming from that.
I have a question for you, Melinda. You've been in the field a long time, just like the rest of us. What is the one thing that has surprised you through your course of being in the profession, either something of you or your own program or the industry as a whole? Is there one big, like, whoa, something that's changed or something that is, yeah, I'll stop explaining my question.
I'd have to say on a personal level, it's been probably my own growth has been the biggest surprise for me that, you know, I got into this profession thinking I was called to work with children because they needed me. But, you know, I'm learning over the years that, you know, I kind of needed them just as much. Mm-hmm. So that's been my biggest aha moment for me is the healing of, you know, my own childhood issues. Children are very healing to work with, mm-hmm. for me. So there's that.
Well, that's a big thing. I mean, we talk a lot about Tamar Jacobson and her work, and you know,
right.
People in this profession do either, they try to heal the wounds from their own childhoods, or they try to recreate the joys of their own childhoods a lot of times, depending on how they grew up. And that's a big piece of it. I think people in the field don't always take the time to reflect on.
Right. Yeah.
Is there anything that you've seen change that you wish had never happened in the industry?
I mean, I hate to constantly complain about regulations because I understand, you know, why most of them are there, but they change frequently and sometimes get a little bit more difficult to adhere to and a little ridiculous and, you know.
In New York, what's the process? How much feedback and input do programs have in the licensing in Iowa we would get asked for feedback and then it was very unlikely anything that we suggested would get implemented. What's your experience been
exactly
with that?
Yeah, it's the same thing. We're allowed to write in and, you know, and call in, but, you know, it falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. So my understanding is when Lisa visited, she was bringing you some stuff that she was was abandoning in her.
I was abandoning
your stuff and your move to Florida. What did she bring anything cool? What's happened with it? Anything you've seen?
Do you still have any paint?
She brought a ton of paint, so we're having fun with that. And she brought these clear tubes that. I mean, I don't know what the intention was for them, but the kids actually took them and tried taping them together and they were swinging them around. They had a blast with those tubes.
For the listeners and even for Jeff and Tasha, it was like the clear plastic tubing that you'd maybe use to go from one water table to another water table or to drain. So I was using them at the science workshop. I put a funnel at the top of one of them so you could pour the water in and it comes out. So I included all of that into there.
The flexible stuff.
Yeah, the real flexible see-through plastic tubing. A boatload of paper.
Oh, yeah. We never have enough paper.
Yeah.
Ever.
The reason that I called Melinda was I was, you know, scrolling around one day and on the Facebook pages and reading what everybody was doing. And the picture that she had posted that day was of one of her charges, like completely covered in paint and pouring more paint on her feet. And I kid you not, the first thing I thought was like, this is somebody who is going to appreciate
more paint,
20 gallons of donated paint that I am not going to pay to move to Florida. And that's when I reached out and I was like, hey, so I kind of got this crazy idea, you know, can I drop some of this stuff off with you? And it was really neat to go there and hang out with her for a little bit and see some of the awesome big, large motor loose party stuff that she's got on her yard. And one of the things that I would like to share and is, you know, you shared, you had what, 16 kids sometimes every day?
Yeah, there's usually 12, but then when there's no school, there's 16.
Okay, so for the listeners, I want you to know, and I'm saying this with love and respect, Melinda does not have a absolutely huge place for these children. And I want you to know that she really has figured out how to make a smaller-ish space work without compromising the experiences that the children are being provided, and without getting overly anal and controlly about, you know, kind of regulating where things are within the space. I mean, I saw the kids very freely moving stuff from point A to point B, you know, being mixed ages working together, the olders actually noticing that the baby had kind of secretly gone over to the pellet table and, you know, was exploring, which was awesome. But, you know, everybody was aware, and it was a very, very nice dance. I too was there for lunchtime, so I got to see, you know, that it was the word that I left with was refreshing. And it was really nice to hang out there for a couple hours.
Yeah, I love it. Melinda, when Tasha worked up some new baby dolls that we have on the website, we sent one couple to Melinda to test drive, and I get this message like, don't know where the doll is. I think they buried it in the sand.
Oh yeah.
And then like 8 weeks go by, and it's like, Jeff, we found the doll. And it was totally busy. And then they're doing things like had a rope tied around it, and it was used to play the skip rope. They're swinging it around and jumping over the baby doll. And I'm like, when we need to test something, he sends it to Melinda.
I can, after being there, I can understand why. The faces of the joy that was on the kids' faces. I mean, that's what I'm always looking for.
Yeah.
And you could tell the kids wanted to be there.
And a couple years back, I was working on a project, and I needed pictures from programs, and Melinda sent me a bunch of stuff, and that was what I've been. If you're looking for good photography of kids at play, Melinda is a great family childcare provider and a pretty damn good photographer as well at capturing those moments. And that's one thing that followed through in the photos she sent me is the joy on the faces of those little people busy at play. So Melinda, why are you so great?
I told you in the beginning, it just comes naturally.
He was trying to trick you.
Does everybody agree with us about how great you are? I mean, you agree, Tasha and Lisa and I agree.
Oh, yes.
Does everybody in your world agree that you're as great as we think you are?
Yeah.
The ones that match are too, yes.
I was gonna say, if we need to send Vinny and Guido over to take care of them, if we've got anybody that's causing you problems, we'd be happy to do that.
No. I mean, I always get really good feedback from my families, and you know, and our, you know, we have a new licensor right now when we switched our license over. Uh-huh. So I don't know her that well yet, but my old licensor that we had for years and years and years, she always, you know, I get a lot of good feedback from her too, and a lot of appreciation. So I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I try.
With the new licensor, do you feel like you're going to have to train her up a little bit, or are you going to be able to mold her into a good one, or?
I don't actually see her as often, so it's been kind of difficult to train her. I'd like to be able to build a relationship with her, but I think when we went group, it changes. Licensing comes directly out of Albany now.
So the
regional office. So I think they're just very busy, and we just don't see them as often. It's not as a it's not as a small, what am I trying to say? Like
caseload.
Way bigger caseload. It's just not as, I can't be as close to her. I don't.
Yeah. Not as conducive to building a relationship.
Right. Like when I have questions now, I still call my old licensor, and she's more than happy to help.
Well, that's good. And I mean, not having them show up so often is maybe a blessing in disguise as well, too.
We talked about that actually while we were there was, you know, it's kind of like awesome. And at the same time, I don't know you yet.
Yeah. So there's good and bad and on both sides of those. Well, we're going to wrap this episode up, but Melinda's going to come back for another episode where we're going to talk about something she posted on the social media that we wanted to kick around and share some ideas about. Kick around, huh? it's a joke. That's not a very good joke. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson here. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks to Lisa. Thanks to Tasha. Thanks to Melinda. I'm calling this episode Melinda Marshall. Chill at all times. That's going to be the name of this episode. Back soon. Bye-bye.
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 Bye. Melinda Marshall, chill at all times. That would be a great TV show. That would be a great TV show.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.